Okay. Turn with me to Romans 1. Romans 1, and God has instructed me to read a little bit further because I only have one verse, so I'm going to have to open it up. Today's title is The Four Phases of Calling. There are four phases of calling. Romans 1:1, we will be reading verses 1 through 5, 6, 1 through 6, and then Philippians 3:14. Paul, a servant. All right, Lord. If you're going to read along with me, take Paul's name out, put your name in there. Okay? Gary, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as his human nature, as a descendant of David, and through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through him and for his namesake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. In Philippians 3:14, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. My name's not Gomez. It is for a while. From these scriptures, we should be able to understand that there are four distinct phases to a calling. Okay? There are phases. You may say, I don't see them. Well, that's fine, because when you're done, you will see them very clearly. And you will understand where you are in this. You see, God is calling. We are to be responding to his voice. And it's becoming more and more evident to me that there is a glaring deficiency in the body of Christ through service, because the people of God do not understand this very elementary but very important aspect of our walk in faith in Jesus Christ. And so, what we have here, and what I'm going to show you, is the four types, is a general calling, a special calling, a specific calling, and finally, the high calling. And we're only going to deal with three of them today. So, it's not going to be a real long service, but it's hopefully you can begin to understand where you're at. It's real important that we come to understand that not everybody is called to be a prophet or a pastor or whatever, but you are called, you have a specific job to do, and it is your responsibility to allow God to prepare you for that specific job. Amen? Those of us who are employed and have been employed understand that there is a training process before we actually do the job. Right? Well, sometimes you're thrown into the fire to see if you can withstand or be consumed by it. But generally that's not how it happens, and it's not how God operates. Okay? God does not operate in a way that he just calls us and throws us into the midst of it. We do that to ourselves. Okay? And that's sin. That just needs to be repented of. In the Kingdom series, I stated to you guys that Satan's job is to keep men from coming to the knowledge of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. If he can't do that, his next job is to keep us from knowing who we are in Jesus Christ. If he can't stop us there, then he will, right, our inheritance. What do we inherit through our faith in Jesus Christ? And believe it or not, these are all aspects of this continued revelation of our calling. Our calling isn't just, I get saved. That's our response. Our calling is much deeper than that. Just like our salvation is much deeper than that. And so what we're going to do is begin to start looking at this, because God has created me and He has created you for a specific purpose. And that's why I say, I need you. I really need you guys to begin to grow up into the things of God and understand that there's a job He has for you that I can't do. Nor do I want to. If I am doing your job, something's is amiss and something else suffers. But when we are all moving in the things that God has called us to do, something wonderful happens. The church grows. The church is doing what it's supposed to do, and we edify and we encourage and we build one another up, because we're not in competition with one another. We're not in fear of what God wants to bring into our lives. We understand what it is. And we embrace that those things that God says, because ultimately He is trying to bring us through these phases to ultimately our high calling in Jesus Christ. Amen? Does that make sense? It should. It's really simple. So let's talk about this general calling. The general calling is when we respond to salvation. When I rolled my car down the embankment, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I entered into that general calling. And all of us did the same thing. Or we should have. But what happens is most Christians stay there. Because they have believed the lie that, you know what, it's pastor's job to do this, or it's Miss Irene's job to do that and all. And the Bible teaches us very clearly that our job as parents, spiritual parents, is to help you in your spiritual walk so that you can perform the job that God has specifically called for you to do. You're not to do my job, and I'm not to do your job. But we can do our jobs together and thereby becoming more effective and more efficient in the things of God. Amen? So we're in this general calling. And what happens is we willingly come to Jesus Christ. We willingly surrender our lives. We surrender our rights. We do everything in that the newness of our salvation is wonderful. Amen? Until we realize that God's the one who's in control. Right? When I enter into this salvation, I understand that I've been called. I recognize this call. God has spoken to my spirit. He has told me what my call is. And the funny thing is, we don't like the call that He's called us to. And so we do everything else but what He's called us to do. And I'm speaking of experience, because I was apologetic. I didn't want to do the things that God wanted me to do. And He called me into this. And I didn't want that. I didn't want to do the things of God. I didn't want the preparation. Because I was afraid of what people would say about me, until I came to the place that, you know, nothing is more important than what God says about me. And until I could come to that place and understand that He is the master of my life, I am not going to surrender my life. And that's what happens with us. We stay in this general calling. But understand that Paul says, I'm a servant of Christ. Now we have to realize that being a servant of Jesus Christ, there were two types of servants in ancient days. The one servant was called a bond servant. And this bond servant had no rights. He had no recourse to gain funds for his employment. He couldn't take his master to court for being abused. He was at the mercy of his master. And then there's the other servant. We call a hireling. And what happens is this hireling is a slave unto Jesus Christ, but feels that they could continue to have their rights. And at any time can skip out and do whatever it is that they want to do. But we have to understand that when we come to Jesus Christ, we come as we are, we surrender everything, and we enter into a consecrated life with Him. Amen? And that's according to Genesis 8, 20, 22 through 12, Romans 12, 1. We have now offered out our lives, we have put it on the altar, and we have now become a living sacrifice. Whatever God tells us to do, we are commanded to do it. Amen? And because He's the boss and because He's paid for us, He has now divine ownership of us. According to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, and 1 Corinthians 7, 22 through 23. God was working from before time to bring us to salvation. When we receive salvation, we entered into this general calling. But we have to understand that in this general calling, that is only the beginning. That is only the beginning of our lives. You see, we came to Jesus Christ because we wanted our sin forgiven, right? And that's what the church teaches. You can't have a relationship with Jesus Christ until your sins are forgiven. That's why He died on the cross, right? Well, the truth of the matter is that we've got it backwards. We've got it backwards. You see, when I come to Jesus Christ, I become a living sacrifice to Him. And according to Scripture, the sacrifice that was given on the brazen altar, or even at the altars that Noah offered out or Abraham offered up, was to have relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when we enter into this calling, we only enter into the relationship with God until we enter in to the true sin offering, until we are truly burnt and consumed totally, or consecrated. We have determined to live our lives. No matter what, I'm going to live my life for Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we're not going to stumble and we're going to falter and we're going to sin and do things. That's true. But until we consecrate ourselves and allow ourselves to be consumed and allow this sin issue goes, we will never have the intimate fellowship with God that we want. And that's the whole purpose of the burnt offering. That's the whole issue of the sin offering. There was always an offering first, according to Scripture, to have relationship with God. When sin offering was in, it was an offering to have intimacy with God. And what the church has said is, you can't have intimacy with God or a relationship with God until you have the sin offering. But look at the Scriptures and see if I'm wrong. Abraham had a relationship with Jesus Christ first. And then he offered an offering. Isaac did the same thing. Jacob did the same thing. Until they had an offering, until they offered themselves up to God and consecrated themselves, they only had a relationship with Him. And we are called to have intimacy with God. That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross. That's what He died. He atoned for my crimes and your crimes so that we could have intimacy with God. We had relationship. We had relationship with Him. How many times we cry out, "Oh God," before we got saved, "Oh God, I need this job. Oh God, I like this girl or this boy. Make it happen, God. Make it be real." And, you know, those things happen. I know I prayed. I didn't have a relationship with God, but I saw woo man that I liked. God, I really like this one, God. She's different. She's soft and cuddly. And God made it happen. But you know what? Do we really want to just stay in the calling of a general calling? I believe that your heart is crying out to God. You know what? I want something more. I really believe that's what's going on. I want something more, God. You know, I know you got something planned for me. I don't know what it is, but you know what? In kind of a way, I have this fearful excitement of anticipation. What it is that you're bringing me to, God? And if you're not praying that way, you got to be careful. You know, Christ has already paid the price for us to have intimacy with God. And because we can choose to be one of these two slaves, we can either choose to be a bondservant or a love slave unto Jesus Christ. We stay with him because he is good and merciful and caring and will take care of us. Or we can be a hireling and just reserve our own rights and privileges and plans and live our lives the way we want. Turn to Exodus 21. I want to read a scripture as an example. You may have read it. You may not have read it. But for me, it is a reality for me. Exodus 21, starting in verse 1. We will read down to verse 6. This is about Hebrew servants. These are the laws for you are to set before them. This is God speaking to Moses. He says, if you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years. But in the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything. If he comes along, he is to go free alone. But if he has a wife when he comes, she is to go with him. If his master gives him a wife and he bears him his sons and daughters, the woman and her children shall belong to her master, and only the man shall go free. But if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and my children and do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door of the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl, and he will be his servant for life. Prophetically, what this is stating to us is this. If I come to Jesus Christ by myself, I can make a choice. I can serve Jesus Christ for a period of time, and then I can choose to walk away. But I only walk away with the things I have. If I pick up a wife, in the interim, she can go with me. My kids can go with me the whole nine yards. If my master supplies my wife, that means I become born again. My wife is born again. My master has supplied it. If I decide to leave, all that the master has provided, my wife, my children, my furniture, everything, belongs to him. If I love my wife, and I love my master, then what happens is I go before the judge with my master, and my master brings me over and says, this is going to be my bond slave forever. And he puts my ear on it here, and he takes an awl, and he pierces a hole, and he puts a ring in my ear, signifying his ownership of my life. Of my life. All that I have, he has provided. God has provided my wife. He has provided my children. He has provided everything for me that if I choose to walk away, I not only lose my relationship to Jesus Christ, I lose everything that he's provided. That's what a true bond servant is. A hireling only walks away with their rights and they lose everything. I determined for myself that I was going to let Jesus Christ pierce my ear. He took me before the Father and he said, Father, this one is mine. And I lay ownership of him by piercing his ear and placing his ownership, sign of ownership, on me. Have you had your ear pierced, spiritually speaking? Because you see, until you come to that place, you will not enter into your specific calling. Until you consecrate yourself, until you come to a place of saying, you know what, I'm going to serve God, I don't care what comes. I don't care what the enemy throws against me, I don't care what people say about me, I am serving the living God. Until that comes, you will never enter into your specific calling. What is this specific calling? The specific calling is your training grounds. The specific calling is where God begins to work in you. He is more interested in wrought the cross in your life than He is in you pronouncing that you are a Christian. Anybody can declare that they're Christian. Anybody can. That's easy. What's your life about? We're not saying that you have to be perfect, but what we're saying is that your life reflects who owns you. Who owns you? Have you determined that Jesus owns you? He's bought you. He's paid for you. But until you determine to surrender everything to Him, you are still in your general calling. You see, this progression is that God has a job for you. Now, that doesn't mean that you know, we're accepting. I wasn't accepting. But when I determined for my life that I was going to chase after God, because I looked at my life at that time, and my life was not a bed of roses. My life was in the toilet, and all that had to happen was somebody hit the flush button. And it was over. We were on the throes of having a divorce, talking about it, at each other's throats all the time. Mental abuse, like nobody's business. It was me on her. False accusations, making claims that were so unfounded and hideous, it was acting unbecoming. But I rolled my car down an embankment. I almost lost my family. I saw what was of importance to me. And I was smart enough to recognize that it was only the mercy of God. Only the mercy of God to allow me to keep those individuals that were important to me. And I committed my life to Jesus Christ. I entered into this specific calling. And not only did I enter in, Irene did too. She did. She entered in, you see, because the King provided me with a wife. The King provided me with my children. He's provided me with good things. And I became His bondservant. We have to understand that all the gifts, all the talents, all my abilities are now surrendered to Him. Everything that I learn through service. What is it that you want me to do, Lord? This is how you do it. And yes, I reared my head. I was like this bucking bronc. I didn't want to do the things that God wanted. But you know what? He wins. He wins every time. And after getting my head spanked a couple times, I realized that it's a lot easier for me to do what God wants than not to do it. Of course, I progressed to a different tactic. I just murmured and complained a lot. But you know what? God saw my heart, and He was dealing with me. He was preparing me to go on. To the point, like in Acts 13:2, the Holy Spirit speaks to those group of brothers who are assembling themselves, and the Holy Spirit says, separate Paul and Barnabas, for I have a specific call for them. See, Paul was being prepared. Paul entered into the general calling? When? When he got knocked off his high horse. Remember? He entered into that calling. And he prayed for 3 days and three nights, and Ananias came and laid hands on him. And God said to Ananias, this vessel has a special call. He will suffer much for my name and my glory. And so shall we. But the things that we suffer don't compare to the glories that of the abundance that God will give to us. And so what we have to do is understand that we've got to move from our general calling into this special calling to enter into the actual specific callings that God has for us. And it's always progressive, which means we have to be moving in this way with the Spirit of God. If we are not moving, we are hurting the body of Jesus Christ. We are hurting the body of Jesus Christ because we are to move as one unit, not in all different kinds of directions. Can a family survive if the father and mother are at odds with everything? No. No. And the family of God doesn't operate like that either. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a pattern for us to follow. And the reason for it is because He is a God of order. He is trying to call us out of our chaoticness, bring us into order, to grow us up into the specific area that He has called for us to serve in. And yeah, it's all right. I don't like what you're calling me into, God. I said that to Him. I'm still here. He didn't smite me. He won me over. He won me over. And I believe your heart wants to go deeper in God. I believe that. Or you wouldn't be sitting here. I believe God has good things for you. But you're resisting the hand of the Lord in your life. I believe God wants to bless you immensely. But He can't because you're stubborn. Probably as stubborn as I am. But I'm stubborn for God now. I've learned not to resist Him. We can, in our resistance, in our rebellion, we can do one of two things. We can retreat or we can remain idle. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to keep you in that general calling. He does not want you to enter in to the fullness of Jesus Christ. You were created for a specific reason. Wouldn't that be great if you knew what it was? Well, then you have to consecrate yourself. You've got to let Him put the awe to your ear. You've got to let Him put a hole in there. And allow Him to declare His ownership of you. And until you do that, you're not going to move on. You're going to be running around in a circle. And what your life will look like is a life filled with disappointments and unfulfilled dreams. And that's not God's will. God's will is to give you the desires of your heart. That's His will for you and for me. And the only way that I know it's going to happen is if I surrender to Him in completeness. When we do that, and we're being trained, then we can enter into what, like Isaiah said. In Isaiah 6, you know, he starts off, you know, talking about how he was in prayer at this time, and God called him up in the temple, and he goes, "Whoa, man, this is awesome stuff. And I'm a sinful man. I'm here before the most holy God there is." And then he has a conversation with God. And God is telling him about all this stuff in there. And in the end, God says, "Who will go for us? Who will go?" And Isaiah said, "Send me. I'll go. I'll go." 1991, December 1991, I was working 4 to 12, and I had a dream. that dream was so profound it changed my life, because I don't really remember dreams. I have visions, and I operate in that realm. This dream was one night, there was a storm. And the fellowship that we were affiliated with at that time, the leaders were in this boat, and we're rowing, and this storm was tremendous. And we're rowing, we're trying to get to shore, and I saw Jesus walking on the water. And he comes over, and he stands right next to the boat, and we're rowing like nobody's business. This storm was tremendous. And he's looking in the boat, and I wake up. I call Irene. I said, "Man, I had this dream. Man, this dream was, this thing was real. It's more real than I can imagine." I said, "But you know what? I really believe God's trying to say something. It was profound." And she said, "Well, pray about it. Ask God to continue to dream." So I did. I said, "Father, you know, tonight when I come home, or in the morning when I come home, let me fall asleep and have this dream." You know what happened? I had the dream again. And it picked up where Jesus was standing in the boat, and he's looking at us. And then he goes like this, still looking at Irene and me. And there's a boat over here. Oars are out of the water, and it's being tossed. I mean, it is being tossed like nobody's business. Up and down, all over the place. And he says to us, he goes, "Who will go and help them? Who will go and help them?" Now, mind you, we've had for over a year prophetic words spoken to us that the prophets in our fellowship and those who were coming had told us we were going to prepare a work with children. He told us that there'd be an abundance of children coming in. They told us that they didn't see us as part of this leadership team. They didn't see us part of the fellowship. And all we did was we took those words and we put them on the mantle and we said, "God, whatever and whenever." The moment when Jesus turned and said, "Who will go help them?" Irene and I got up. God took our hands and we began to walk on water with Jesus. And he brought us to the boat and I woke up. I was literally drenched. It was real. I called her and I told her, and she goes, "Well, praise God." I mean, typical Irene, "Well, praise God." And I'm like, "But you don't understand. You don't understand. God's calling us into something here. I don't sense we're prepared. Praise God. God knows what he's doing." "Oh yeah, okay." 1992, we go and talk to our pastor. He says, "Sounds like God. They had a service for us, and they released us to do the work." And for 18 years, here we are, ragtag bunch of people. We came, we looked, looking to help other fellowships, and the reality was God wanted us to help you, to help you, to help others, help other fellowships. You see, we haven't entered into our high calling yet. We've only entered into our specific calling. And God has shown me what our high calling is. And that's why I say this ministry has to be turned over to you. Because where God is taking us, not that we're leaving streams or anything like that, but he has further work for us to do. And those who have gone to the door and had their ears pierced understand. They understand what I've been talking about and the vision. And they are excited about what God is doing in their lives. They're excited about what God's doing in the life of this fellowship. I implore you.
implore you that don't stay at your general calling. Don't stay. And be satisfied. To be satisfied is death. To enter into Jesus Christ and the fullness that He has for us is to operate in such divineness. It's what I said. Jesus broke it down like this. Those who believe shall speak in other tongues. Those who believe shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Those who believe anything that they eat shall not hurt them. Those who believe shall cast out demons. Do you believe? Then what's stopping you? It's part of your calling. It's part of who you are. You are part of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. You are people of heaven, brought to earth to rule and reign over all of the enemy's tricks. That's who you are. You are to live in blessings, not in the crumbs that the world wants to give to you. But it requires you to take your ear and consecrate yourself to that which God has called to you. I can't walk your call. I'm struggling in my call. But if we lock arms together, we can support each other. And Jesus is already on one side of me. I just need you guys on the other side of me to hold me steady. I need your gifts. I need your talents. I need you to grow up. More importantly, Jesus needs to take over your life. Hopefully you can see where you are. Hopefully you can begin to see that this is a progressive thing and that what He's called you into is good. You're not called to be like me. I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be like Jesus, serving Jesus in the fullness of what He's called for your life. And then run after it. Run after Him. Embrace Him and say, Lord, nail the other ear. You got this one, nail the other one. Because only Jesus is going to do it. Only Jesus is going to turn your life around. And it's like I said a couple of weeks ago, we can either live in the abject monotony of just living a Christian existence, or we can enter into this exhilarating life of confrontation with the enemy in that people see that we're Christians by the love we have one for another, not because we're professing platitudes. Amen? Go deeper in Jesus Christ. I encourage you. And then tell me that you've consecrated and committed your life to. I mean, really committed your life. And then seek Him and find out what it is specifically. Maybe this will help you. This gift thing may help you. I don't know. I'm just being obedient to what God's telling me to do. But I know one thing. If you chase after Him while you're going along, you will be doing that and you won't even realize it. Because you will be so focused on the Lord that one day we're going to stand up here and we're going to say, so and so, come on up here. God has seen your faithful work and now has made you a deacon, has made you an elder. And an eldership here, you become a pastor, an under-shepherd, and then you learn to walk into your specific calling. Guys, be all you can be in Jesus Christ so that our wives can be all that they know to be in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word, God. I thank you, God, that your callings and giftings are without repentance, God. You're not sorry that you called us, God. You are not sorry. Then why should we? Why should we, God? Why should we make excuses? Why should we be ashamed of the King who has called us to this marvelous work? God, I pray, Father, I truly pray that today, Holy Spirit, you grab a hold of our hearts. That you cause us to be committed to the first things, God. That we would have your priorities for our lives and not ours any longer, God. God, that it doesn't matter. I pray that we all become love slaves of Jesus Christ. That we become consecrated and purposeful to do the things that you've called this fellowship into, Lord God. And God, I see awesome things. I see awesome things, God. And you know, we've sat there and we've discussed these things, God. I pray that you stir the hearts of your people today, God, to go deeper. Father, speak to our hearts. Reveal to us what our special calling is, what our specific callings are, God. And let us run this race, God, with determination that we will not falter until we cross that finish line, Lord, that we may receive that crown from you. God, as we go on this day, God, I pray that my spirit, God, that what you've put upon my heart, Lord, would be a reality for your people. God, we need you so badly, Lord. But God, let us take hold of that which you've taken hold of us for, God. That you may receive all praise and glory, God. That we may enhance your coming. That you would take us from this world before judgment. But God, do not take us from this world now. Grow us up in you, Lord, that we may accomplish that which you have purposed for Streams, God. That we may fulfill the divine destiny. You have divine ownership. And we have the divine nature, God. Let us implement the divine purpose and plans of your heart, God. To love one another as Christ loves us. I know, Father, that's going to take a lot. But in you, God, all things are possible. I thank you for the saints hearing, God. Bless them today and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.